overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change, to create a brand new life. I am.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration Service for the Center of Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
Oh, Thank you, Emily. So with the mindfulness bell, we stop. And we open to the new dream. Recognizing that we live in a dream, it's time to have a new one. I dreamed a dream where we would live together in peace and harmony and love, where all life is sacred, where we open to the inclusivity of the one life, God's life, ever unfolding in its spiritual magnificence, and we witness it. It says in the Quran, am I not your Lord? To which we say, yes, we witness you. And so in this new dream, we begin to see the sacred in everything. We begin to see the light shining through all creation. We feel a love that is universal. We open to the universal Christ of our being. Not an individual that lived 2,000 years ago, but to a vibrant energy of the one life, awake within all creation, and we are that awakened presence. Between spirit and matter, we exist as the embodiment of this presence, of this spirit. And so we open to this shift in awareness. No longer identifying from our egoic patterns of habit energy and thought, but shifting into an open-hearted awareness where an awake presence within is revealing to us how we shall be in this world. And so we enter into this space this Sunday morning consciously with a beginner's mind and a beginner's heart. And we deeply listen to the space between the words, to that which is awakening within our own hearts and minds. Call it intuition. Dr. Ernest Holmes says, intuition is spirit in the soul of man. And so we come here to access the soul, the eternal part of our being. Not with effort, not with trying, not with struggle, but in a strange sort of way through surrender and through saying yes. Beloved, this life belongs to you. This one presence. Do with it as you will. And with that, I invite you to open your eyes and enter into this playground of the unmanifest with me. Let Emily thank you. She came up last Sunday and said, I'd love to sing for you. And she says, do you have a suggestion? And I said, you know, I love that song from Les Mis. And here she shows up this Sunday and she offered her gift. And tears just came down my cheeks as I felt the invitation. And all life is an invitation. It says in the Bible, choose you this day who you will serve. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve mammon? Are you going to serve the stuff of life or are you going to serve that which created the stuff of life and that's creating through you and me and through all creation? It's such a bigger picture, you know? So the theme for this month, we've got some new people here today. I'm speaking on a theme from a book by Mark Nebo that I taught here at the center. It was called Better Together Than Alone. And he recognized that you know, the Hopi Indians had a prophecy. And basically, the prophecy says, the day of the lone wolf is over. It's not about you. It's never been about you. And then they prophesy that there is this stream called life, this river called life. And they say, we are all in this river. Well, some are in the river, embracing change. They say, keep your head above water, move forward. And the Hopi prophecy, at this stage of our evolution, we cannot afford to take anything personally, because that's when the egoic patterns kick in. And then they said, notice who's in the river with you. And they say, we are the ones that we've been waiting for. This is the Hopi prophecy. Well, that's you and me, folks. We're the ones that we've been waiting for. Barbara Marx Hubbard called it the homo universalis, the universal human. It's no longer about the individualized self anymore. You know, that American idea that we're supposed to be. No, it's about us serving the one. And the one is everywhere. I was working on this sermon yesterday and sitting out in my back patio, and there was a little worm that was squiggling up. And you know, he was doomed. He looked like he'd have, I thought he was dried up. And I went to touch him and he still got the wiggle in him and he's still alive. And I said, okay, I'm gonna lift you off this hot pavement and I'm gonna put you into one of my beautiful plants. So I went down to pick him up and he was fighting me. He was wiggling and just, and then my Zen calendar says, when the crow sees the snake, he becomes like an eagle and the snake becomes like a vicious so-and-so. Well, that was the little worm with me. He wasn't gonna let me save him, but I managed to save him. And I put him in a pot and he went into the soil. And it's those little things, those little connections in life that make you kind of smile. I was telling Jeanne, the butterfly lady here at the center, I was sitting outside working and a butterfly decided to land on my material that I was working on. And then he went over and he landed on my nose. Now I know Jody has experiences with dragonflies and butterflies. Why are they coming to visit me? It's like because I'm kind of crazy and curious. So what if when you open to the mystery of belonging to the universe, it starts to show up in ways that you can't imagine? So the first Sunday of this month, I spoke about living in the question. Now, it was very interesting. Saturday morning, I was taking my pug out for a walk, and I got a text on my phone, and it said, there's a book sitting outside in your back patio. And it was my beloved Gigi Mejia, who had taken her lifetime of photographs and writing poetry. So oftentimes she would do it as a final project in our class. And she created a book of sharing. Do you see this beautiful white flower on the back? That's the tree peony from my tree peony bush. I have seeds, by the way, of the tree peony, and it's extremely hard to root. I have not been able to. So Jeanne, I'll give you some seeds of the tree peony and see after 20 years you can have a flower like this. But isn't it beautiful to know that we are like this expression of the one life? So the first week I spoke about living in the question. Now the ego, the mind, wants to have answers. Tell me what to think. And we're not here to tell you what to think. We're here to encourage you to stay in the question because our mind is 10 times more active in the question. And then the I don't know place is very fertile, Barry. You don't know and you can't know. When Marie Perez says, I have no clue. And I said, good, none of us do, Marie. And then she laughed. There's freedom in not knowing. So here's what Gigi Mejia, I'm just going to read that every one of your poems is sacred. And you know, this is the consequence of studying with someone like me for 20 years. I start to rub off on you. I see a lot of me in here, but she does it in such a classy way because she's got the class. I got the chutzpah. We're starting a new class this Wednesday, Living Beautifully with Uncertainty and Change. And it's really needed at this time. I taught it first in January of 2015. It's all about facing the stuff of life, but doing it in a sane way so that you're not one of the crazies out there reacting to the world. And the world is kind of crazy now, and it's easy to react. Could we be mindful stewards and look at the darkness and you're the bringer of the light? So here's a poem. They're all my favorites, Gigi, but this is number one. It's called Living in the Question. And I want you to get a taste for this beautiful woman. Gigi says, seven laws for a lifelong path. There's only seven, she says in this poem. So when I'm old, she says, really, really old, like 90 or 100. My beloved Gigi's 91 now, so she's gotten there. Well, she says, will I have worked with those laws, or will I have bent over backwards to please, to fit in? Or did I desire and attend with passion and then let it go? Did I give from my heart and consciously receive, she asks. Will I have played enough in the field of pure potentiality? That's a great question to ask yourself. You know, Ernest Holmes calls God the totality of possibilities. Are we playing in that field of potentiality and possibility? She asked that question. Did I discover my Dharma? Our Dharma is our purpose in life. Have you discovered it? Did I put all egoic emotions away? Well, no, there's a nice question, Miss Emily. Did you put your egoic emotions away? She's laughing. She's an ex-mo over there. And see, detach from your old stories and conditioning. Did I detach from those old stories and my conditioning, or am I still carrying them around like a badge of courage? You want to hear my story? Put it down. Then she says, lastly, did I open my heart? Did I open my heart to the suffering of the planet?
And then she goes on even further with the questions. But why wait until then? She answers. So now, right now, today, while there's still time, I invite them in. I invite in my favorite guests. Now, who do you think those guests are, Miss Emily? Their names are Grace, which is the unmerited givingness of the universe, especially when you leave a religion that's toxic. Grace steps in. I invite the guest of compassion. Could our hearts open when we open to the suffering on the planet and not close? I invite the gift of empathy. You know, I'm an empath. I feel the suffering of a little worm. So could we invite that awareness of empathy for all life? She says, I invite the guest of courage. It comes from core, heart. I invite the courage to stand up to ignorance and to leave something that's toxic so I can embrace something that's alive. I embrace the guest of integrity. Don't you love people who live with integrity? I love that little Cassidy Hutchinson, that beautiful little girl that spoke the truth to all those powerful beings, even though they threatened her. She had integrity. You can smell integrity. It shines through you. And most of all, she said, I invite the gift of love. So this is how she concludes. She asks another question. Have they eaten at my table enough? Have those qualities eaten at my table? Have they offered their gifts to me, or have I receive them? And finally, the biggest question of all, boy, does she live in the question, have I given my gifts? You know, who receives a gift that isn't given? I said to Emily, giving her gift of song is such a gift for all of us, because we get to then enter into that vibrational field that music has to open our hearts. Have I given my gifts? Have I loved enough? Isn't that a wonderful question? And how much is ever enough? You know, I have these beautiful gardens, and as I walk around them, because of the drought, they tell me when they're thirsty. Some of them are dead. And so I find my whole life is about loving, not trying to fix, but tending the garden. If you've ever read that beautiful Voltaire work, Candide, it's about a young man who goes searching a whole world over for himself in his great adventure. And he ends back in the little town in France where he started out, and he concludes the book, Voltaire, by saying, maybe we're just here to tend our own garden. Not to look the whole world over to find, you know, success out there, but to just find it right where you are. Have I, and how much is ever enough? Then she finishes this poem by, I have no answers, she says, but spirit knows. There's something that's greater within us that knows, that has the answers. Could we learn to listen to that? Spirit knows. And I, she says, I just stay in the question, knowing that all is well. Huh. Then how shall we live knowing that we shall die? Can we live in that question? Are we going to live as servants to the one? Or are we going to try to make it about us? And do they approve of me? And have I succeeded according to the world's standards? And is there more to get? I remember a minister friend of mine said, I just want more. I just want more. And I said, there's no more in oneness. When you open to oneness, you already have the all that is. So could we stay in the question, how then shall we embrace this life, knowing that we're better together than alone? Well, I would sense that then it's got to move into some kind of way to offer our gift to the world where we are inclusive. Now, we have Wednesday night satsangs where you can come together and meet in that field and then embrace whatever is arising within you to find the light. We have a class on Wednesdays where you can embrace change with uncertainty and yet be okay with uncertainty. My beloved Donna Reed is going to consider offering one of her gifts from the heart. And so what if we're here to serve this greater something? The second week of this month, I spoke about, what did I speak about the second week of this month? There's a net of knowing. Jesus called it the Gnostic awareness, this consciousness that knows within us. Could we discover that knowing? Watch David Attenborough on Smithsonian or PBS. He talks about the wisdom of the galaxies. I think Terry Boy's been watching him too. He says we live in an intelligent universe. Last night I watched him for 2 hours while he was talking the wisdom of the flying creatures on the planet, how it started with the insects and then it went to the reptiles that learned to fly, and he did bats in caves and then the birds and the prehistoric dinosaurs. And then he talks about how we're made out of star stuff. Well, it takes you to a whole different realization. As a human being, we're not superior on this planet. We're part of a web of life. We're part of a net of knowing. So maybe that butterfly, Gina, knew what it was doing when it landed on my nose. He's saying, I tried to teach you something, but you're too stupid to get it. Well, maybe I'm just a flower in the garden of life, and he's showing me that. So then, Gigi, I'm going to lean on you to do my summary of my old talks. So the second week is about this net of knowing. And here she wrote a poem called Oneness. And here's how she talks about this net of knowing. I stand in the light. My heart beats to the rhythm, and the pulse of the world. My blood flows and it ebbs like the tides of the sea. You suppose we're made out of water like the ocean, Miss Emily, made out of the earth. Water flows in everything. I feel the vibrations of the rocks, the joy of the eagle as it soars. I hear the secret whispering of the pine trees. You know, I planted a pine in the yard and I've named it after you, Gigi. And right next to it is a really sassy pomegranate, and I've named it Raul. So Raul and Gigi are standing in my garden. She's the pretty pine, and he's the sassy pomegranate. Trey said, he's not a sassy guy. He said, well, I can see him in bright orange. Anyway, I hear the secrets of the whispering of the pine trees. All creations, she writes, speak to me. Huh, are you listening? The universe is calling. The one voice, are you listening? Take communion. It was the Ojibwe Indian said, to the tree, teach me and show me the way. To the eagle, teach me and show me the way. To the stream, teach me and show me the way. So what if we could deeply listen to the voice of the one that comes through the many so that we can recognize that we're interconnected, that as Thich Nhat Hanh would say, we inter are. There's no separation. I feel the vibrations of the rocks. I feel the joy of the eagle as it soars. I hear the secret whispering of the pines. And all creation, she says, speaks to me. It sings, it whispers, it cries. And you can hear it in the silence that dwells behind this, that dwells behind all sound. Deeper flows the river of life, connecting us all in a golden web. My heart hears you. Can you hear me too? Wow. When I was in my little retreat, I read this book called Original Wisdom, and it was the teachings of the indigenous people and how they hear the Great Spirit in everything. And they say, if we can go back to a dream where we knew we were all part of the one life, and that's the conclusion, they had it right, our original ancestors, because they recognized that all is the Great Spirit. We got into hot water when we developed these religions where we had judgment and separation and good and evil and right and wrong and them and us. But there's only the one life. So in that book called Original Wisdom, at the very end of the book, the writer says, I am one with plants. I'm one with animals. I'm one with the sun and the moon. This is the indigenous people. And I sense, as he looks at the planet, I sense your pain and your joy because they are mine as well. Last week, a woman came and she says, I'm feeling the suffering of the planet right now with all the drought. I used to live in California. They're having fires. It breaks my heart to watch the forest come down, those ancient trees. Could we feel the suffering, the floods in Kentucky? I mean, climate change is real. My sweet husband, he started keeping weather graphs in 1978. I gave him a weather book in 1978. Every single day, he's kept records of the highs and the lows and the rainfall and all the many places we've lived. And he has graphs to show and articles. Climate change is real. It's not something we need to run away from. And he's concerned when he dies, who's going to get all his weather books? Did anybody want a man's weather books for 40, 50 years? I think Terry Boyle, I'll give them to you. Anyway, so this indigenous person says, my spirit is fed by the tiger. It reminds me of you, Gigi. It's fed by the tree and by the sunrise and by the stormy weather. All in truth is the Great Spirit, and we inter are. That's how he concludes the original wisdom, to know that it's all the Great Spirit and you're that Great Spirit. Now, Gigi came to that realization through her sitting in nature under the pine tree by the ocean. And so what if we are challenged to connect with this web that's something bigger? The week after that, I expanded this inquiry into the idea, what did I do the third week? Oh, it's larger than ourselves. It's so much bigger than ourselves. I think I closed with the Lord's Prayer. You know, Jesus said, our Father. He didn't say my Father. He said, whatever this thing is, it belongs to all of us. Oh, infinite teller, hallowed be thy name. It's holy, it's sacred, and it's everywhere. Thy kingdom come. It's not about my idea of what the dream should look like. But what if God's dream could be manifested on earth as it is in heaven? Whoa, then I think we'd all be loving one another, wouldn't we? We'd be serving one another. You know, Emily's going back to teaching soon this week, and she's been instructed, as all teachers have, how to address the little gay boy or girl that comes up to her. And as much as I know that she loves me for who I am, I'm sure she's challenged because I think she's told that you have to report to the parents if the kid's a little different. Where are my little gay brothers and sisters going to hide now? Because when I grew up as a little boy, you had to hide because it wasn't safe to be who you are. So there's something bigger trying to happen, and could we be in service to that something bigger? Imagine no religion. I think there's a song. I wonder if you can. Well, anyway. So that was the second week. The third week, and this is the last thing I'm going to give you of Gigi. The third week was this something larger. And this is, I think, my favorite one you did, Gigi. It's called Surrender. So this is how we're going to do the something larger. Surrender to what is. Leaving the ego face down in the ditch. Well, that's kind of harsh, Gigi. We don't want the ego face down in the ditch. And this is, and it always doing what it does, puling and whining. You know, we all have a pain body. When the pain body gets together, they like to commiserate. And I know you love to meet in your pain body, but once you put the pain body down, there's that something that contains it. Let's call it the wisdom of the heart that we get to touch. Doing what it does, the ego in the ditch, the soul then is aglow with the passion of love and the quest for the light of the one. The soul is on a quest for the light of the one. Next month, I'm really excited about it because I'm doing the theme, the alchemy of light and love. I had this epiphany that we're here as spiritual activists to bring the light and the love and the energy and the music to the planet. And we're doing a Circle of Love gathering in October. And the theme for that Circle of Love gathering is in service to the light and the love. Oh no, it's the alchemy of light and love. So could we have courage enough to open to this light and to this love that she writes about here, to feel the light of the one? She says this, no more struggle, no more doubt. I just accept and I believe and I let go of the little self. My mind is wide open. It's like stepping out of the deep, dark forest into a glade that is flooded by sunlight. Get the image. Light fills my being. Healing, nurturing, loving, the heart knows the truth.
Well, I guess, Miss Emily, the heart knows the truth. Your head doesn't have a clue, Miss Jenny. Well, then I think it's time to go to the heart. What do you think?
You know, every now and then Bert, my dog, comes through me. He's on the other side now.
The heart knows the truth. You know, the pug would sit in front of him, and you know what he would do? He would lick his eyes, then he'd lick his ears, then he'd lick under his armpits.
Pugs are kind of smelly little dogs, and Bert would clean him. And now Bert's no longer on the planet, so now he comes and sits at my feet. And Trey cleans his ears, always has some goobers in the ears. We clean the one eye now, because Bert used to lick it, and we clean under his armpits. And,
well, you know, someone's got to do it, Miss Emily. So the heart knows the truth.
It's all the same, she writes. And I love this part, presence and absence. John O'Donohue, the beautiful mystic from Ireland, he talks about absence. Even in the absence, the presence is there. You know, I met Jody when she came to the center, and her friend had just died in a car accident, Miss Lindsay, and I never met her. But through Jody's love for Lindsay, I realized I know this woman. I know her spirit because she kind of hangs out with Jody. And so could we know the presence in the absence? That's what Gigi is saying here. That's what the heart knows. The long, long journey home, finally arriving, merging with the one, merging with the beloved, I am home. That's for you, Tia. She did a beautiful treatment where she invoked the presence of the beloved, and she opened our hearts. We felt that presence within us, and then through gratitude, thank you, thank you, thank you, I have arrived. So what if all there is this beloved? This divine presence, and it's waking up, and it's something bigger than all of us, and it's inviting us to let it in to our lives. Since we have some new people here, I'm going to share with you the four levels of consciousness that I learned in Science of Mind years ago from a man named Michael Beckwith. He says the lowest level of consciousness is what they call the to-me consciousness. It's where you hang out in victimhood, where you think things happen to you. It's where, you're living in a reactive place to the outer. And if you're in the to-me consciousness, you're going to live a life of suffering because there's always them and us. So the next step up from that is the for-me consciousness, where you realize that even the heart attack that I had was for me because it woke me up. You know, even that failed relationship was for me because it was a course correction and moved me in a new direction. Even going to the Mormon church, and I never went there, but I had enough with the Christians. And even with as toxic as that was for me because you have to deny what doesn't work before you can step into a spirituality that is life affirming. So what if that second step of evolution is I'm going to say that everything in life is here for me, and I'm not going to run away from it. Then when stuff happens, as it did to beloved Sylvia on her last trip up north, it's not going to deter her from doing the adventure again, because she's not bound. Principle, as it says in Science of Mind, is not bound by precedent. So what might have happened, you might have, you know, gone down that path and fallen in that hole, but you know what? You're going to go down a new path now, and you're not going to fall in the hole anymore. Are you done with the Mormons, Miss Emily? Oh, she is. And she said, I finally moved into a teaching that invites you to think intelligently instead of buying into this obedient way of surrendering or succumbing to what people tell you to be. So once you decide that life is going to be for you, then you have to be proactive and choose you this day who you will serve. The third level, which is, I think, where so many of us love to hang out, is the through me consciousness. And that means that I'm a conduit. Mother Teresa was there. She said, I'm a pencil in the hand through which God expresses its love. So what if we could know, as St. Francis of Assisi, you know, maybe may I be an instrument of your love, an instrument of your compassion, an instrument of your grace. So there's this connection to the Brahman, that's something bigger, that moves through the Atman, which is the soul. This is Hinduism. And Ernest Holmes says, the Brahman and the Atman are one. So we are, in essence, God in expression. And so God sings through us and dances through us. For me, it came on a dance floor when I heard the choreographer say, all movement is discovered, it's not invented. And it took me into an exploration of my master's thesis, which was on the anatomy of inspiration. It had nothing to do with the movement. It had everything to do with allowing that creative something to flow through us. And my whole life is still about being an instrument for the divine. Now, the last and the most evolved state of those four levels of consciousness, which is where Jesus was and Buddha was and we all really are, but we don't know we are, is the as-me consciousness. You are that already. Huh. You are that already. You've already arrived. This presence is already there. Touch your heart. Do you feel the love? It's already there. God is love. So you're opening to the love that you already are. You know, my beloved Emily, I'm so glad that you're here offering your gifts. And when I see a beautiful woman like that who's single, I said, God is your lover. And, you know, and I'm kind of crazy like that. God is in the little worm on the pathway. God's in the tree. When I was on this retreat, I read this book. What was it called? When I speak for the trees. What was it called, Gigi? I wrote the title of the book down. Oh, To Speak for the Trees. This woman who was, she, like you, Jenny, she was Irish, and so she was raised in the Celtic tradition, learning all this Celtic magic. And then she went to Australia, and she studied scientific things and became a biologist. And now she's an advocate for the trees on the planet, saying that the trees are sacred and that they have a message. And so she's an advocate for planting trees. And she has a solution to global warming, that every human for 6 years will plant a tree. And by then, the carbon emissions will be less and we will have oxygen to breathe. And you know, it sounds crazy, but she's passionate about it. She's living her dharma. My husband told me yesterday that in Greece, the temperature had gotten up to 105 in Athens. And so in Medellin, in Colombia, they found that if they planted trees, that the temperature went down. So these Greeks used somebody else's example and planted all these trees in Greece, and the temperature in that little village went down by 5 degrees just by planting trees. Now, that's called empirical knowledge. That's somebody who's done it, and actually it does work. So you've seen these signs around here. The trees are you know, they're our ancestors. They're offering us oxygen. They know how to take sunlight and create life. They're advanced beings. So could we open to that? I'm going to be teaching Living Beautifully with Uncertainty and Change, and Pema Chodron talks about how life has got so many hurdles. And, you know, last week I talked about how we meet adversity. We meet adversity by not running away from it. You know, I shared with the Revealing Service, because of maybe Jenny doing alternative healing with the Chinese medicine, it wasn't until I found Dr. Lee and went down an alternative path that I was healed from my whiplash. The medical science couldn't do it. But something about this, it seemed strange that I was stepping into a field that I had no clue about. Well, spirituality is kind of like that too. There is this field of divine intelligence that is offering itself to all of us and wants to express itself as us. My husband wants me to go through my books, and I must have a million books, Emily. I just gave a couple of them away because they're kind of sacred to me. And I found this one in the bookcase. It's ancient. It's called The Starseed Transmission. And there's an endorsement by Marianne Williamson. And she says, Ken Carey is one of the greatest living teachers. You read him and you will have hope. And it was those words, hope, Jean, that got me to open this little book. And it's an intuitive transmission from the galaxies through this individual. And he talks about how we're not separate, that we're all part of this shift, this greater awareness. And I want to just give you, because it's disturbing to read, and yet it feels so true. So I want you to get a little disturbed here, and yet feel good about it. This is just a taste. He says this, outside of time and space, you are one with the Creator. You are one with all that is.
Well, I'm one with all that is, Jenny? Everything? With the Creator and all creation? That's a little bit of a big idea, isn't it?
And he says, but when your consciousness moves within, the context of a manifest universe, well, then you become the Son, S-O-N. He's taking us back to the universal Christ is awakening. So the Father would be the Creator, Brahman. The Son would be you and I as an expression of that. And he's saying this is a pattern that exists within creation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know, Jesus said in the Gospel of Thomas, you can kill the Father and you'll be fine. You can kill the Son and you'll be fine. But if you kill the Holy Spirit, you shall perish.
Let those who have ears to hear, hear. Well, I put take that one into my little matrix and find out.
The Father is just your idea of the universe. The Son is this temporary vehicle called ourselves. But the Holy Spirit is this givingness, is this life energy that never dies. It's the prana, it's the shakti, it's the loving, you know? It never stopped loving. It's the lover loving the loved. So the lover can go, the loved can go, but the loving is eternal. That's the Holy Spirit. You play with energy. So he says, in essence, you are the relationship, now this is you and me, you are the relationship between spirit and matter. The mediator, the bridge, the means through which the Creator relates to creation. So the Creator needs a way to express itself. So through you, Emily, it gave you this beautiful voice. Through me, it gave this ability to flow with movement. You know, in essence, you are the relationship between spirit and matter, the mediator, the bridge, and the means through which the Creator relates to the creation.
Well, Miss Serena, that means you get to paint and dance and do all your things for the creation as yourself.
Eternity as it relates to time, the infinite as it relates to the finite. So you're infinite beings and you're also your spiritual beings having a human experience. You're both infinite and finite. He says, though you presently experience yourself as a separate and fragmented species, you are in fact a single unified being sharing the full consciousness of the Creator. It's enough. You're the one being, the one life. Now you've got to be so humble, Mr. David, to know that you are the one life in service to the finite and to the infinite, and they're not separate. And so then you get to play with that in your unfolding of life. How is it working for you? You know, we've been given this day to show up as an awake person. And so what am I talking about today? The last of these is, if another world is possible, what's it going to look like? If that's why that song is so perfect. If another world is possible, what's it going to look like? And live in the question. I'm not giving you an answer. You know, I've been living in that question for a long time. You know, I have a husband that's very frightened by what's going on the planet. And his solution, and I understand the reptilian brain, he wants to flee the country. And then he's looking for a safe place to run to. You know, run from that. Wherever you go, you take yourself there. I was in a musical called Sweet Charity, and there's a song, run from the Bronx or Washington Square, no matter where I run, I meet myself there. So looking inside me, what do I see? Anger and hope and doubt, what am I all about? Where am I going? You tell me. So living in the question, we don't know what's going to happen with this planet, but we can, by not turning away, we can face it. And that's why this living beautifully with uncertainty and change is so powerful, because she shows us how to meet that in a sane way, not a neurotic way. Could we be sane at this time when everybody else is losing their intelligence and blaming it on you? So the outer teacher takes you to the inner teacher. And I went to a nice Jewish boy who became a student of the Course in Miracles. And you know, the Course in Miracles was a channeled work by a lady named Helen Schuckman, a nice Jewish lady who was channeling Jesus. And he spoke about the second coming is coming through you and me. Now, Alan Cohen is also a nice Jewish boy who became a student of the Course in Miracles. And he wrote this book of poetry. And the book is called The Peace That You Seek Is Already There. Remember Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven's within you? So instead of looking outside yourself for any of this, could we begin to discover it's right there? and I'm giving you two little small poems before I go into the closing meditation. I love this little book of poetry. The first one, he says, is the pilot. So what if there is a pilot within us that's guiding us?
Well, that's kind of a pleasant idea, Miss Emily. The pilot within? Well, let's see what he has to say.
He says there is a pilot to whom you can turn in moments of confusion. This unfailing wisdom gently directs your way to the way of the peaceful warrior. You have to learn. In oneself lies the whole world, and if you know how to look and learn, then the door is there and the key is in your hand, but no one gives you the key or the door to open except yourself. And when you open that key within, you're going to find this guidance system. The pilot within. As you become more familiar and comfortable with this quiet feeling that guides you, that's why your meditation is so powerful, with this quiet feeling that guides you in moments of turmoil, you will then recognize the simple song of your happy heart. Emily was telling me, she says, the moment when I left this toxic religion I was in, she says, I remember the moment when I looked out and I said, people are beautiful. She began to see with different eyes. That's the same thing. The pilot woke up. They lied to you. It's all beautiful. It's all good. And she sees it now. So we have a pilot within. And then his next little tiny poem is called, And It's a Loyal Friend. Now, don't you like getting intimate with the divine within you? Mary, it's your friend. That little pilot that took you and Terry Boy to Huntsville. It's your friends. Here's his next little poem. Your sense of truth, that's the big T, and remember the truth reveals itself and unhides itself. That's what the meaning of truth is. Your sense of truth is infallible. There is a mind in you that knows the truth of every situation and the way to overcome every challenge. Could we surrender to that truth? They say the facts are the enemy of the truth. We want to hang out in the facts. The facts aren't real. You know, you're not your disease. The truth is that you're a pattern of wholeness underneath that, and once you identify with that, that pattern begins to restore you. We call this a revealing service, not a healing service, because Ernest Holmes says there's never anything really to heal. There's only the truth to be revealed, that there is a pattern of wholeness within all creation, and that's what a Reiki master does. They align with this pattern of wholeness. He's saying the same thing. There is a mind in you that knows the truth of every situation and the way to overcome every challenge. So do not seek to solve situations on the level of the reasoning mind, but seek within yourself to find the divine mind that knows the answer. And I wouldn't even say that knows the answer, that will assist us in assuming the consciousness that's required to meet what arises. I don't need answers anymore. You know, how am I going to fix the world? The world doesn't need to be fixed. It needs to wake up. And that's why we're creating this vortex of love at the center. This servant will help you, this divine mind within, remember it's your loyal friend. This servant will help you resolve all difficulties and meet all needs and rise above all thoughts of limitation. It's going to assist us in assuming the consciousness that's required to meet the next moment. That's what this loyal friend within is. Emily found it by going in meditation, just by becoming still. And not going into the head, he's saying the same thing. We find this presence that lies stretched in smiling repose, as Emerson would say. He said, it's only your finite self that wails and suffers, but there's this infinite presence, the loyal friend, that lies stretched in smiling repose. Could we be humble enough, creative enough, playful enough to inquire into that, Mr. Barry, and find this loyal friend that's always there for you, smiling at you, Miss Nancy? Saying, I've always been with you even when you were a little girl. And you used to go out and look at the birds in the sky. And I was there with you. You remember her. And then you begin to reclaim the imprisoned splendor that was always there. It's almost like you found your child of wonder again. And she starts to sing through you. You know, when I was a little boy, Emily, I had a high soprano voice. And I always fancied myself as a singer. So at 6 a.m, I'd be singing in my soprano voice in the neighborhood. I remember I had a song about butterflies. Butterflies, where are you going? Butterflies, where do you roam? And my high soprano voice, out in the sunshine, there will you go, for where there are flowers, you always will roam. And the neighbor lady called and said, would you get that little kid of yours to shut up? He's singing too loud. So from the time I was 5, I was told, don't sing. I know. The truth is a loyal friend that travels with you wherever you go. So the truth is they lied to you. You know, you weren't born in sin. You were born innocent. That would change everything, wouldn't it? You wouldn't need to Jesus's blood to be shed so you could be redeemed or saved or whatever. And so when you let go of the old way of thinking, then a shift begins to happen and you begin to see God in the smallest of things. It was Meister Eckhart that said, he who can see God in the smallest of things is better than seeing an angel. So could we look around, like this woman did, who is the advocate for the trees, and see it in the sacred tulip poplar, and how all these trees and these animals are medicine for the soul. They're our own self. They're not separate from us. Well, then you got kind of a crazy sense of sustaining this incredible planet that's so sacred. The truth is a loyal friend that travels with you wherever you go. So here's his last little phrase. Call upon it, and it will serve you well. Call upon it, and it will serve you well. Emily and I were talking before she got up here, and we both come from the stage, and so many times accidents have happened, and then you're right there in front of the public, and you have to call on this presence. She was telling me once that she was in a bat cave, and they say bats are so, you know, David Attenborough went into a cave, and he says the bats are so intelligent, they have this kind of radar, and they can fly all around you, and they don't hit you. And then Emily said, well, I got a bat story for you. She said, we were in the bats and they're flying all around us and one went up a lady's skirt. I said, well, it just takes one moment and your theory changes. So we let go of the exception and we take, and we have a little laugh. And so, Miss Serena, you want to give the mindfulness bell just a little ding over there? Since she's sitting right by it. Patience is the last step to enlightenment. There we go. I love the mindfulness bell. So we begin as we ended, by stopping. And we smile to this emerging consciousness that may have been dormant, but is starting to wake up within us. We are grateful for the poetry of Gigi and for Alan Cohen, who remind us that there is something larger than ourselves, that we can hear it in the trees and in the nature that's all around us. We hear it in our own heart, seeking to get our attention, but it speaks a language of the soul, not a language of the mind. And so we invite those guests in to our heart, the guest of compassion, that would have us open our heart to the suffering of the planet and each other. We open to the guest of grace, knowing that grace, this givingness of life to itself, has always been available in every moment, especially those challenging ones. And so, Grace, you're in charge. She took me to Dr. Lee when all medical science had failed so that Dr. Lee could put cupping on my back and suck the bad blood out, he said, and I took the pain away. Well, I wouldn't have agreed to that conceptually, but literally, it was miraculous. And so when we let go of our conclusions, we let go of our belief systems, we step into the mystery of belonging to this something that's so much greater. And so we hear St. Francis, let me be an instrument of your peace. Huh. Let me open my heart and offer it to the world as a refuge. Huh. Let me embrace this sacred moment, knowing that time dissolves and all there is now, the sacred now, waking up. And so by means of this closing meditation, I invite the universal Christ to awaken, if it may have been dormant, knowing that it is alive and well. It is the awakened presence that knows the Father and I are one, that the Creator and the creation are one. It knows what I do, you too shall do, and greater, that this power is unlimited. And so we open to its courage, to its insight, to its expanded awareness. I'm not going to call it intelligence, but I would rather call it wisdom. Because when the knowledge falls away, the wisdom starts to flower. And so we invite the wisdom of the elders that are still here on the planet. We invite the ancestors into this experience, knowing that spirit was never born and spirit never dies. And so we begin to cultivate a field of awareness that is our true nature. And we say yes to it. I belong to you. Rumi, the great mystic, says, out beyond the ideas of right thinking and wrong thinking, he says there is a field. And that's what we're speaking about today. And he says, and when the soul lies down in that field of awareness, that field of love, that field of expanded peace, he says, then words are not necessary. They oftentimes get in the way. And even the idea, each other, does not exist. There's no separate self. And then Rumi concludes, I will meet you there. And so we have met. We are meeting in a field of love, a field of awareness. I invite you to touch your hand and to feel that presence within you. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is within and it's all around.
He says, seek it first, and everything will be added unto you. And so we touch that consciousness of wholeness within ourselves, that light of love that abides within the open heart. And to this presence, I invite you to say the heart salutation with me. To this presence within and all around, I honor you.
I honor you.
I respect you.
I love you.
You are the emerging presence of the One.
Ever shining through its creation.
Expressing spontaneously.
Living joyously.
Trusting in uncertainty.
Celebrating gratitude.
Curious about the unfoldment.
And ready to say yes.
This life belongs to you.
Do with it as you will.
I am open
and receptive
and ready.
And all is well.
And so it is. Yeah. So feel the alchemy of that. You're being done by the universe. Offer yourself, you know, in surrender to that which embraces you with every breath, the breath that's breathing you. I mean, it's literally an alchemical experience, surrendering. It's dying to the old idea of you and then giving birth so that we can really know that we need each other. We have classes starting this week for the rest of summer. We're going to do that little beautifully with uncertainty and change. I mean, there's some keys out there that someone left on the table. The sign-up sheets for the Wednesday night class and then the Wednesday night satsang. And I've got an appointment with beautiful Donna Reed, and we're going to discuss the possibility of exploring other options here at the center. So thank you for coming. There's a basket in the back of the room.
For listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org. To create a brand new world.